All right, the time is 3 minutes in the after 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. A very good morning to you. How are you doing? Yeah, my morning is great. It's just a bit cold. Yeah, just a bit cold. Not super, but it's just a bit cold. How is your side? How are you doing? Your side? And of course, this is Early Morning Scoop. And excuse me, I have a bit of a terrible flu. Here and there, I really, really have to say sorry for that. Yeah, so it's Early Morning Scoop. And thank you so much for tuning in to your favorite radio, or rather talk radio station. This is Eagle FM. I'm your host, Clarissa Shimi. And of course, I'm pleased to always have you glued by your app, by your website, by your radio, just to tune in or staying with us during this segment. And on this segment, or in this segment, we dive into the important discussion. Of course, we talk in terms of economic affairs. We're talking about trade policy, entrepreneurship. That's what we give you until the of 7:30. But before I do that, as usual, please do not forget to follow us on our social media platform. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Eagle FM Namibia, as well as the Village Newspaper page on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for the daily news update, and of course the newspaper outlets, and you can be connected and also you stay informed. And do not forget also to download the favorite app, the very important app that we have, that is Eagle FM app. Please, you find that on your Google Play Store, and of course your App Store, and you can able to download and able to tune in to all our shows, or rather you can able to tune in to past show that you have missed out. All the podcasts are lined up there for you to listen. Now, to start off internationally, is that the Africa does not have renewable energy challenges, but one of the poor investment in energy from the continent. That is the view of the Minister of Electricity and Energy, who will be hosting the 2025 African Green Hydrogen Summit from today, that is Thursday, in Cape Town. Now, he said that, or Mahoba said that, it is important for the continent to resolve its energy crisis, and of course, as it is electricity that is going to power the production of hydrogen. Now, green hydrogen is hydrogen that is produced using renewable energy such as wind, solar, hydropower through electrolysis. We might take a listen to this update.
The summit will bring together African energy ministers, policymakers, and investors to discuss the continent's emerging green hydrogen sector. Minister Ramaphosa says the continent must leverage off its renewable energy endowment and approach the energy transition negotiations with developed economies from this vantage point. He points out that while Africa has the capacity to produce 60% of solar generation capacity in the globe, yet only 1% of investments are found on the continent.
We need each other for us to be able to transition, because they are sitting with the money. Of course, we can go to the Chinese, we can go to the Middle East, we can go all over. The money can be found, but they don't have the endowments that we have. So it's important that when we enter the conversation, we enter as equals. So no one is doing us a favor. We are not doing them a favor. We must find a meeting point, a place of alignment, a place of convergence, so that we are able to benefit humanity. I'm making this point because when you go to multinational fora, an impression is created that we need the industrialized countries more than they need us. I'm making the point that we need each other.
The launch included a tour of the Isondo precious metal in the east of Johannesburg. The company is one of Africa's first facilities producing platinum group metal-based membrane electrode assemblies and catalysts for electrolyzers, which are critical components in green hydrogen technology. Its CEO, Vinay Somera, says the facility should be considered as a national asset, as it is proof that South Africa can anchor the full hydrogen value chain from mineral to market. He says the country can produce green hydrogen relatively cheaper than most of other countries in the world.
What are the benefits? What are the direct impact of what we are doing here in country and on the hydrogen economy? I think at full capacity, at full production, and all the products we are producing, the catalysts and the MEAs deployed, the products from this facility will save about 1.6 million tons of carbon per annum. This is on a global basis. And that is not an insignificant size for a facility. From a beneficiation perspective, from a localization perspective, I think the figure that we've calculated is at full capacity is around about $270 million per annum in terms of full value of product. But let's be clear. To me, it's also steps three and four where the real value lies. It's not just about technology. It's about people. It's about dignity. It's about hope. And it's about really giving an access to jobs within this environment to our youngsters coming through. We will create in this facility about 300 new jobs.
The launch concluded with a visit to Sasol's green hydrogen plant in the Free State province, where the company is pushing ahead as a significant player in the green hydrogen market. Sasol produced the...
All right, there you have the time. It's 9 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that the G20 Digital Economic Working Group will now produce a final report on its priority areas to be signed by all communication ministers of member states in September this year. Now that's according to the Chief Director of Emerging Technologies in the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, and delegates from all 20 countries gathered in Limpopo this week. Now, the three-day meeting, which also started on Monday this week, discussed digital connectivity and the use of technology to deliver services and, of course, artificial intelligence technology.
The Economic Working Group has been focusing on how different countries can use technology to improve their economies. They have been highlighting key areas in the priorities set by the presidency, including connectivity for inclusive digital development and how to use information communication technology to improve the lives of people in different communities. The digital economy will enable people, including those in rural areas, to participate in digital technology transformation for a better future. It will also enable those in developing countries to use technology for activities such as receiving grants through cell phones and applying for IDs and passports online by themselves. Delegates from all 20 countries have finalized the draft of all the key areas of priority. They are expected to produce a final report on all the priority areas in September this year.
What we achieved between Monday and now is to unpack all these different areas and agree on the deliverables we want to achieve as a working group. And the ultimate outcome is today we are finalizing the ministerial declaration document, which is a document that will be signed by all the ICT ministers of the G20 member countries. We're planning to sign that document in Cape Town. It will be signed off by all the ICT ministers in September.
The meeting brought together experts and policymakers from across the world.
Throughout the insightful and valuable workshops and the reports presented by the presidency and knowledge partners, it really get the sense and perspective of the Africa's need, Africa's opportunities and challenges they're facing. And we are very happy to join hands with G20 members to continue our cooperation on digital economy, ICT development, and digital development to foster the SDGs to advance to gap the bridge the digital divide and smart divide, and join hands working together to present more fruitful outcomes for the summit. And I really wish to strengthen our cooperation with the Africa continent to better harness the technology, digital technology in specific, and to bring the benefit for all.
For developing countries to exploit the full potential of digital economy and artificial intelligence, experts say they need to consider social and economic collaboration with other countries.
I heard a lot of capacity building in the discussions yesterday. There were best practices on how should the capacity be built, what are some of the frameworks, what are the do's and don'ts. We hope that developing countries who are present over here can learn from the advanced economies who are advanced. So the forum was provided a good knowledge exchange and also thought-provoking, discussions, workshops, and a lot of bilateral opportunities where one country could learn from another country. They could look at partnerships with each other.
The G20 Digital Economic Working Group meeting is part of a series of international meetings that South Africa is hosting ahead of the main G20 summit in November. A task group on artificial intelligence is expected to start with their meeting on Thursday. Rendani Ralephasa.
All right, there you had it. Now, to move on to the next item is that the TrustNet Engineering says it is repositioning itself as an engineering and, of course, manufacturing partner on the African continent and the rest of the world. Now, the division of TrustNet has showcased its now capability in the design manufacturing, not only for locomotives, but also in marine engineering. Now, the Parastatals says it is services an average of 400 locomotives per year and, of course, maintain over 2,500 at its 16 main sites in the country. We must take a lesson to this.
Maintenance, not even 50 years. Transnet Engineering has now delved into research, design, manufacturing and maintenance, not only for locomotives and passenger coaches, but for port and marine equipment.
There are things that, like for instance, the hauler, like I explained the hauler. Hauler to us is new. We've always bought haulers for the other ODs, ODs bought haulers for themselves. But this one we've built internally from design, from scratch. And that hauler is currently, as I said, is in testing, and that hauler will be deployed soon once the testing, all testing has been completed. We've done the version 1 and we did the version 2. So all that requirement we did from scratch.
Although they could not say how profitable the new ventures have become, but say the outlook is promising with new ventures like the design and manufacture of skips, front end loaders and trailers. They hope to spread their footprint even to the rest of the continent.
We've been in rail for a very long time, long time. So here we're saying we are able to go into the marine space. Here we are ready to go into the port space. The equipments that are there, we are able to develop, research and develop and build new, refurbish and do general overhauls in those spaces. And as I've shown you on the floor, all these items, most of them are built from scratch. And we've done it ourselves. And the engineering part of it is what I want to show, that Transnet Engineering does have a skill.
The Port of Cape Town was recently ranked the worst performing container port in the world by the World Bank Container Port Performance Index. Transnet
Engineering. All right, the time is 16 minutes in the off 6 o'clock and it's early morning scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that South Africa aims to phase outdated 2G and 3G network by 2027. Now to accelerate this transition, mobile operators are offering 4G smartphones for as little as $5. However, millions in rural areas still lack access to next generation mobile coverage. We might take a listen.
South African telecommunications giant MTN is leading an innovative push to switch over a million users to 4G as the country plans to retire second and third generation legacy networks. Behind the move is a Chinese-made Intel smartphone that costs just $5 and puts digital services in the hands of the most poor.
90% of what you are enjoying on your very expensive smartphone, the grandma in the village will be able to do and enjoy the same type of services. She'll be able to do a video call, she'll be able to do a WhatsApp video call, she'll be able to WhatsApp social media platforms, any app, internet banking, anything. the children will be able to do homework, access sites and all of that.
Devices are important because we need to bring the price of devices down in order to make them more affordable. And I think what is important is the scale. So as China manufactures more and more of these low-cost devices, they become cheaper and cheaper per unit, which helps very much.
China's involvement in Africa goes well beyond devices. Network infrastructure leaders like Huawei have been instrumental in fast-tracking the continent's mobile upgrade, bringing millions online faster than anticipated.
MTN network is predominantly on the network side Chinese. I think we're 80%. They've made very good inroads. They've provided us a lot of support. They've given us progressive technologies to help us to drive 4G and 5G in this market.
The growing popularity of satellite technologies are adding to the list of options. Most South African cities have blanket 4G and 5G coverage, but outside that map, connectivity is patchy.
You know, we see satellite technologies as complementary. You know, non-terrestrial for us is a complementary part of the jigsaw. You know, we don't see them as necessarily a direct competitor. We think they can provide services where we are not able to reach.
South Africa is leading the race to switch off 2G and 3G networks on the continent. Well,
all right, there you have it. Now, to move on to the next item, is that the National Assembly has raised fresh concern over the impact of replacing a proposed VAT hike with a fuel levy, warning it could hit the poor hardest. Now, the MPs debated the third interaction of the national budget this week following a four-month political deadlock over how Treasury should raise revenue to fund government spending. Now, while three was bought, acknowledgement of the need to support the revised budget. Now, many parliamentarians have flagged deep concern over rising debt levels and, of course, long-term sustainability of current spending plans.
Senior reporter Konita Hunter was with me in studio tonight. Konita, it's good to have you here. Let's start with the Finance Committee Chairperson, Joe Maswanganyi, who really spoke in support of this third iteration of the budget, saying that this is not an austerity budget. What did he say exactly?
Well, he opened the debate today, making clear and anticipating the criticism that the opposition in Parliament would have said in response to the budget, saying that this is the best that they could do. It's not an austerity budget. And that was the line that the ANC and its MPs put to the debate, with Mswanganyi starting the debate and Enoch Godongwana, the finance minister, ending the debate. Now, before we get into what Mswanganyi actually told Parliament, Goli, just to say that this budget was finally passed. 268 MPs voted in favor, 88 voted against, and there were two abstentions. You know, this was, what, something like third term lucky. It has been a long and arduous 4 months, and all MPs conceded that there are important lessons to take from it. But let's go to what Joe Mswanganyi opened the debate with.
This is not an austerity budget. The budget has garnered praise for being both pro-poor and pro-growth. The budget prioritizes economic development and addresses the needs of the poor and vulnerable, all while promoting fiscal discipline and accountability.
Well, you could say that Mswanganyi was really setting the tone for how this debate should go. Did the MK party follow that script, or were they completely different?
Absolutely opposed to the budgets, as it were. You know, they tried to have the finance minister censured for his handling of the budget process, but that didn't really work this week. And so coming into the budget with the narrative that the ANC had sold out the people, and that actually the fuel levy increase in lieu of the VAT increase would be worse for poor people. Let's take a listen to what Des van Rooyen had to say.
People have been sold out. During the last year's election, our peoples were promised better life. improved living conditions, job creation, growing economy, pro-poor policy. Out of trust, our people voted. Little did they know that they were taken for a ride by Barekisi, who talk left and walk right.
Someone would say it's no surprise that the MK party would speak in that language, because they have for the longest time been saying that the ANC is selling out. Let's understand, though, Kwanita, when it comes to the debt to GDP levels, that's a very worrying picture. Mm-hmm. Some of the parliamentarians even speaking futuristic as mm-hmm. to if the debt levels are where they are right now, yours and my children will probably be settled with this well into their futures.
Yeah.
How is that being dealt with?
I think it was quite powerful that, you know, MPs across the bench or across the aisles of parliament have shared this concern, because it's expected to be 77% debt to GDP ratios by the end of the year. That's completely unsustainable. Just so you know, Goli, that a reasonable, the worst that International Monetary Organization say that developing nations can push it is something like 60% debt to GDP.
So we're way over that.
We're way over that, number one. Our debt servicing cost is escalating every single day. We pay 1.2 billion rand a day just to service debt, not to pay the actual debt. It's completely unsustainable. And with low growth, this is obviously going to be more and more expensive. The Democratic Alliance, Wendy Alexandra, weighed in on this quite heavily. And she says that there has to be a relooking at the situation, because essentially what you're going to have is you're going to imprison future generations. Let's take a listen.
All right, there you have it. The time is 24 minutes in the afternoon o'clock, and it's early morning scoop. We are still on the international segment. Now, to move on to Zambia, is that the government has managed to reduce the petroleum debt from $877 million to about $521 million. Now, Energy Minister Makozo Chikote says government has continued to negotiate with the suppliers. Let's take a listen.
As of 31st December 2024, the outstanding petroleum debt stood at $735,819,423. In 2025, government has continued to negotiate with the suppliers such that the outstanding debt has reduced from $735,819,423 to $521,650,050. And that is what we have done so far. Additionally, settlement agreements have been signed with ERA Industry International Energy Resources and Sahara Energy Resources DMCC to dismantle.
All right. Now, to move on to the next item, is that the business sentiment among local business people remain depressed. The SACCI Business Confidence Index dipped by 8.6 index points in April to 114.9, but also clawed back some 0.9 index points in May to 115.8 points. Let's take a listen to this.
Short-term impacts on the business sentiment in May came from the stronger rand exchange rate, higher share prices on the JSE, and high US dollar, gold, and platinum prices. Negativity came mainly from lower merchandise imports, fewer overseas tourists, decreased real value of building plans passed, and reduced manufacturing output. Saki says the financial environment was supportive of the business climate, but subdued real economic activity dampened the business environment.
If one looks at the whole environment, economic environment, for businesses such and the markets, what's going on there, then of course your financial movements have been quite positive in terms of business confidence. And that's actually what kept the index sort of afloat at 0.9 index points in May. But we must remember in April, there was quite some negative developments internationally as well as for South Africa specifically that created a lot of uncertainty in the business environment. So the index actually dropped from March to April by 8.6 index points. So luckily in May it recovered somehow to 0.9 index points, but we still have a long way to go, especially as you've mentioned, you know, in terms of the real economy.
It's hoped things will continue to improve following the meeting between President Ramaphosa and the U.S. President to reset relations, as well as the GNU parties seemingly having been able to unite behind Budget 3.0.
We had the highest reading in that business confidence index for South Africa since 2015. That's in the wake of both the GNU over the past 10 months or so, 11 months, as well as the post-Trump euphoria. However, that confidence took a severe knock in the month of April when Trump's tariffs came in. And so this ticked up as a recovery from that level. So it bodes well for manufacturing and the underlying drivers such as higher commodity prices, especially precious metals.
Saki says South Africa will do well if it can get right growing the economy, restoring business and investor confidence, and creating employment. Gloria.
All right. Lastly, on the international segment, is that we can take a listen to the residents in residents of course complain about the electricity outages. We might take a listen to this update.
There's no greater time where you feel the impact of power cuts than during a cold snap. What are residents telling you?
It's been very difficult for them, Michelle, as you know that during this time is when you actually need a bit of heating up in the house. But furthermore, you'll remember this is the time that actually kids or pupils.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next week.
Would be actually writing exams, so studying has become very difficult for those kids that are supposed to be writing exams. But I want to bring in a community member here, Tulufuelo, to speak to us about just the impact that this has had to you as a community.
Okay, first of all, the impact is very high because, as you can see, everyone is outside. People didn't go to work. We haven't had electricity for the past 3 days. And now one of our community members, they went out to Eskom to get answers from them. Of which Ntlantlalax was here. But still, when they came back, they didn't come back with a concrete answer. Of which it makes the community frustrated, ma'am. Just imagine, you haven't eaten proper food, you haven't bathed, you haven't done anything for the past 3 days. Then if they're telling us about more days, what's going to happen? And what we are doing here, we are doing a nice and peaceful protest. We are not hurting anyone, we are not breaking anything. Only what we want is Eskom to come and fix our problem. That's it. That's what we are asking for.
Are you going to open the roads if they come?
If they do happen to do that, we as a community, we have to talk about it. We can open roads for them because we are not in the fighting mode. How can you fight someone who's going to be assisting you at the end of the day? We just want that. We ask that since all the traffic officers, they've been standing there the whole day, they might as well go fetch Eskom people, escort them here. We're going to open the roads. They fix our problem, then they go. Simple. You know what frustrated me the most? It's when the chief whip was here in the morning. She said she only heard about our problems in the morning. Our councillors, they never told her about our problems, that we don't have electricity the site. So we want to know what kind of councillors. It's my first time seeing this guy here. They are hearing that they he's one of the councillors, but our main councillor is not here. How can you not be here, but you are our leader? The person that got elected to run for us, got elected to be in front of us, to fight for us, he's not here today. He's sending other people to come here.
And I want to bring in those councillors to speak to us, because you are the two councillors within the ward. You're separated by the road that we are currently on. And I want to start from here, going that way. What did you get from Eskom? Were you able to communicate the problem that the community is faced with?
No, thanks. The response that we got from Eskom, it's that their challenge is at the substation. So they've been trying to work on that issue for a long time now. So they are running away from getting a situation where there is a total shutdown. A total shutdown, it's a possibility whereby the whole substation is now not working. So if the whole substation is not working, that means everyone who is supplied by that substation will not have electricity until they fix that issue. So what they do, they then fix bit by bit. Hence, you'll then get a zone one, then will be off between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock while they are trying to fix other issues. But when while they are working at the substation, then they get other challenges. Then they still have to deal with those challenges. Hence, now we are talking about 3 days. Because before it was a matter of 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. But the 3 days is because of now when they are working, they are getting other challenges. When they are fixing this one, then it affects another area there. Then they must go and fix that area, then come back and fix that issue and all that.
And I want to know, what is the solution then? Because you're saying there are various issues that are affecting Eskom. But what is the solution for the people here who haven't had electricity? You've heard the lady speak about the fact that she hasn't had food. Kids have been affected in terms of exams. There's a whole lot of problems that have come because of what has taken place.
Yeah, you know, it is very much frustrating, because this problem didn't start today. I think it's been 3 weeks. We've been going up and down to Eskom trying to explain this situation. Because you cannot, if you're a councillor, you cannot even relax, because we'll be receiving many calls, and some of them are not that much satisfactory. Because if people are frustrated about the situation, they will say as many things as they want. So we, since maybe 3 weeks ago, we did have a committee that we were frequently going to Eskom to try by all means to try to solve the situation. And then the very same answers were given then, even today. That's why I become very much frustrated, because the...
Are you saying that there's no solution then for today?
Definitely there's no solution. Because right now there are excuses that they are not working because of roads are closed. It's the excuse that they are using. So even if tomorrow we can close the streets until tomorrow, but even tomorrow we can call them, they are still going to tell us the very same excuse, that we are not working because of the streets are closed.
All right. Thank you very much. So these are the councillors in this ward. So
all right. The time is 36 minutes in the office o'clock, and this early morning skip. We can go into a very short commercial break. Then once we return, we take you through the local news update. Stay tuned.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I madina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandi somwa yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konoraje tatu imwe. Datu, heari jamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
All right, welcome back. Now to move on to locally, and of course, if you just join us right now, thank you so much for joining us. And this is Early Morning Scoop, this is a show where we give you the international news. Entrepreneurship. Items, talking about trade policy, and of course the we look at also the trade policy and the economic affairs. That's what we give until the hour of 7:30. Now to start here is that the Namibian beverage sector experienced a notable decline in the production of course trade during March 2025, according to the latest report from the Namibian Statistics Agency. Now the beverage production composite index, which track both alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages, fell by 9.4% compared to the previous month, marking a steeper contraction than February's 5% decline. Now, year on year, the index also dropped by 4.4%. Now, the decrease was primarily driven by a significant reduction in non-alcoholic beverage production, which fell by 19.9% month on month, revising the 13.9% growth seen in February. Now, alcoholic beverages, however, showed a slight recovery, with production increasing by 0% after an 18.4% contraction in the previous month. Now, despite this monthly improvement, alcoholic beverage production was still down 4.2% compared to March 2024. The beverage export also faced challenges, with the beverage export composite index declining by 19% month on month, an improvement from February 34.7% drop, but still reflecting a 31.2% year-on-year decrease. Now, export volumes fall to 23,512 hectoliters, down from 29,019. Hectoliters in February 2025, and of course 34,193 hectoliters in March 2024. Now, South Africa remains Namibia's largest export market, accounting for 75.9% of total beverage exports, followed by Tanzania, that is 7%, the Democratic Republic of Congo at 5.6%, and Zimbabwe at 3.6%. Now, on the import side, the beverage import composite index contracted by 20.5% month on month, a smaller decline than February, 34.4% drop. Now, year on year, imports fell by 4.8%, and Namibia imported 104,559 hectoliters of beverages in March 2025, down from 131,550 hectoliters in February and 136,000 hectoliters in March 2024. Now, South Africa was the dominant source of imports, contributing 86% of the total, while Germany at 5.4%, Botswana at 3.7%, and Zambia at 1.5%, followed on this. Now, the data suggested ongoing volatility in Namibia's beverage sector, with production and trade facing persistent pressures. Now, while alcoholic beverages showed a modest monthly recovery, non-alcoholic beverages also export continued to struggle. Now, the report also shows that Namibia's reliance on South Africa is both a key export market and, of course, import source, underscores the importance of regional trade dynamics in shaping the industry's performance. Yeah, moving on to our next item is that more than 45% of Namibians have no access to electricity now, both in rural and urban areas. Now, the winter season right now brings the government's electrification efforts into question, as those without access to power struggles to find sources for energy, especially now to warm the water in this season. Now, an alternative that has been proposed is now solar geysers. However, that they are very costly for the majority of Namibians, of course, and of course suggestions have been made for the governments to subsidize solar geysers to lower the cost, and of course in has excellent. Now joining us to unpack this, Mayor Loise Ipinge, who is one of the financial advisors, just to unpack this for us. A very good morning to you, Mayor Loise, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, Loise. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on this context, speak to us about it. Like, what are your thoughts on the government subsidizing solar geysers just to enhance the affordability for people to at least be able to afford?
It's a good idea. It's a good initiative. Actually, it's an initiative that's already there. So there is a fund called Solar Revolving Fund that usually subsidizes off-grid people to get electricity. And when mm-hmm. we mean off-grid, it's just generally remote areas where the major companies like NamPower in Namibia cannot go there, because it's not business viable for them to go there. Because, for example, if there's a few kilometers out of town and there's only two houses or so that can afford to get electricity, it doesn't really make viable sense for them to build a whole electrical infrastructure to just, serve two customers, right? Mm-hmm. So what the government has then done is that to be able to at least just bring some sort of solution and mitigate that, they've then created a solar revolving fund where you can be able to get a loan to either get a geyser or get electricity, an electrical system, or other electrical appliances. And the loans are generally on low cost compared to bank loans, but then you still have to go through the credit, facilitation process in terms of checking your affordability and your credit score, etc. Mm. So yes, it is something that I suppose in a way when you are saying geysers at this point, that most people, we might have electricity but we don't have geysers, mm-hmm. and the geysers generally do cost, they increase the cost of
the
electricity.
Charge was, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in towns especially. It's the same with stoves. What I've seen in some communities, especially if you go in really low-income communities, right, mm-hmm. what most people opt to do is that they use electricity for lighting and, the fridge, for example, mm-hmm. And for TV systems, but they don't use it for cooking. They rather than use the gas for cooking, which saves on, electricity purchases, because electricity is quite expensive right now. So it does make sense for people to then opt to use solar geysers in town as well, because then it will reduce the cost.
Now, in mm-hmm. that regard, do you think perhaps also it will now make an impact, especially with low electrification in the process?
Realistically, right, we do have a major problem. Mm-hmm. The national major problem in our hands, right? And as we speak right now, obviously the major companies are providing electricity right now. Realistically, it's going to cost a lot for them to be able to provide electricity to everyone, especially with challenges where we are saying in some areas there might only be few people, and especially farm areas. Where the reason why it makes business sense for towns to have electricity is because there's a lot. The population is quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And it means companies are making profit to provide the electricity, and that then gives them the incentive to actually put up the infrastructure to do so. And usually the initial infrastructure is a problem, because it requires a lot of money to mm-hmm. be able to do that. So that's why, companies have been there for a long time, but they still haven't gone to villages, because it doesn't make sense, business-wise, because of the population and the fact that they won't be able to get the money back in mm-hmm. terms of profit. So solar energy will play a role. And it is something that will help. But realistically, mm-hmm. it's not going to solve it completely, but it is something that definitely plays. We don't need it or whatnot. It definitely will help in mm-hmm. some way, shape, form. Yeah.
Now, to move mm-hmm. on to the last question, like your idea, your perspective, how should maybe this now solar geyser subsidy be funded, in your opinion?
No, I think the initiative of what the government is doing in terms of subsidizing is great. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I just the loans are still, I think, only affordable to people that do have a certain specific salary. I don't really think low-income people that are any lower than 10,000 every single month, because it's still a loan that you maybe have an installment of 500, 600 every single month for their basic minimum one. I think they have a basic of 35K for a solar system installation, which would then be for 5 years a 600 installment, which is not that bad, but it's still, I think, it's still expensive for the lowest income earner. But for some people, instead of you having go and apply for an electrical system to be brought into your home, and then you still have to pay electricity every single month, it would be, so it will be cheaper in the long run. I think with solar, the biggest thing about it is that the initial price of putting the solar system in is what is high. Mm-hmm. But at least you know you don't have to pay electricity anymore, right? Mm-hmm. I think the only problem with solar system in terms of the technology right now is it does for consistency and for you to get the same experience as you would if you have normal electricity, is to be able to do a combination. There are some systems that have been, I've consulted with a few people that are working in the solar industry, and this one is more perhaps to do with people that are maybe having an appetite for business models, and they are, NAMPOWER right now is busy invoking communities and people that want to do business to maybe say, look, you invest in creating a system that can be connected to their grid, whereby it allows you to feed a certain community with solar supply during the day, because that's when solar is available and it works perfectly well. But in systems like during the night where it can be a bit low and stuff like that, then it's NAMPOWER who feeds back. And then in that way, the community can be served a more controlled system. And it's a little bit cheaper because then it allows other people to invest in such a technology, not just one company that is serving communities. Mm-hmm. So I think ideas like that would also help. It just now depends if we can have people that can maybe go to DBN to get that investment amount so that they can actually start something like that. And then it also means that they obviously have to analyze certain areas and how they are going to make the money, because essentially it's going to be a transaction between the person who's selling to the community and like the energy company as well. So there is a back forth of like when you are feeding, when the solar system is feeding into the company, the big company power supply, then they buy from you, and when they are feeding back, you pay from them. So you are serving the community, but you are kind of like a middleman system. Yeah. So ideas like that, I think, would definitely help, because realistically that we need all like all hands on deck in terms of ideas and ways to be able to increase supply of electricity at the cheapest way possible. But at the end as well is to increase we need to find ways to increase people's finances, because realistically without people who can pay for monthly costs and be able to pay for these things, then it's really harder to be able to increase that supply.
Mm. All right. Thank you so much, Meloise, for having you.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. There you have it. The time is 50 minutes in the off 6 o'clock, and this early morning scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that the Financial Literacy Initiative is a national platform to enhance financial education for individuals and, of course, micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises. However, proposals are now made for this initiative or this kind of initiation to be part of school curriculum. Now, in the past few years, many were saying that the absence of personal finance education in schools is now leaving young Namibians unprepared for adult life. Of course, as to why financial, literacy cannot also be added as a subject like other subjects. Now, on this, my colleague Bernadette Simeon got into a conversation or engaged with different school principals just to engage more on this particular subject on financial literacy in schools. Now, let's begin with Jeremiah Hafeni Mekonjo, principal of Dr. Abraham Iyambo Secondary Schools, to share his thoughts on this.
Hello. Yeah. Dear Eagle FM listeners, let's continue proceed with our early morning scoop. So here we are talking financial literacy to be taught in Namibian schools. Since they said financial literacy is the ability to understand and manage money effectively and encompassing concepts like budgeting, savings, investing, and debt management. It's all about making informed financial decisions that align with personal goals and values, leading to greater financial stability and security. So in the past few years, many were saying that the absence of personal finance education in schools is leaving young Namibians unprepared for adult life. As to why financial literacy cannot be added as a subject like other subjects such as physical science in elementary schools. So today we're going to engage with one of the principals, Mr. Jeremiah Mekonjo, principal of Dr. Abraham Yambo. Good morning, Mr. Jeremiah, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, very good morning to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, thank you very much. My first question is that, Mr. Jeremiah, do you believe that coming up with these skills or teaching these skills early will change the financial future for our country?
Yes, I do believe in that one. Mm-hmm. Because if we just to start with what is financial literacy itself, you have put it rightly by saying it's the ability to understand, mm-hmm. but not enough only to understand. One should be able also to manage money effectively by looking at the concepts like budgeting, saving, investing, and debt management. You just put it rightly. Mm-hmm. So who am I not to believe that there is a need for such introduction of financial literacy. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that there's a need for people to be taught, more especially in schools. Mm-hmm. People need to be taught, to be given these financial literacy skills. For one to say it's necessary only if you look at mainly the benefits. Mm-hmm. One could say for one to have a better understanding and the ability to manage money, that will help somebody to borrow responsibly. Mm-hmm. And before you go to borrowing, we start with, they talk about the principles of financial literacy, whereby we can mention such as anyone earns, one has to budget, has to save or invest. You have to be clear about the debt management, the credit, the borrowing, the protection and financial planning. So if one has got the skills on literacy, financial literacy, mm-hmm. That person will definitely know that if one earns, whether you are employed or whatsoever, mm-hmm. so long as you earn money, mm-hmm. You should, no matter how little that money, for you to use that money effectively, you have to budget.
Yeah.
And in the event that you budget and still your financial obligation surpasses what you need to spend, you might think of borrowing. Now that you've got that, you can able to borrow, mm-hmm. you must be able to borrow responsibly.
Yeah.
And one, to minimize the chances of borrowing, you should be able to save.
Yes.
As much as you are you are earning little or more, you should put something aside. Remember, if people are well informed when it comes to finance, mm-hmm. it can also prevent or minimize frauds. One can only commit fraud if that person is failing to meet his or her financial obligations. So for one to have that those skills, mm-hmm. We're able to prevent all this one. And not forgetting that finance can also lead to depression. Mm-hmm. If one is able to manage his finance, mm-hmm. it can also reduce the depression that can come as a result of financial hardship.
Yes. Okay. So my second question is that what actions do you think can be taken to provide people with the necessary financial knowledge? It seems many Namibians still struggle with the debt management and financial literacy.
Okay. There's a lot that can be done, but I will try just to give a little that I can able to provide at this juncture.
Mm-hmm.
Let's consider parents. Before we talk about, for example, somebody to go to school, we have education that one gets from home.
Mm-hmm.
All parents have experienced when it comes to finance. So parents should consider financial literacy is a very important thing, and they have to instill those skills into their children.
Okay.
We can also think of incorporating financial literacy in the curriculum. Yes, we think, let's say, for example, our country, we can think the Namibian government for introducing life skills.
Mm-hmm.
In that subject, which is a non-examinable subject, there's a part of finance, mm-hmm. but it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So a subject like financial literacy should be introduced in the Namibian schools, and it must be, or it should rather be, an examinable subject.
Mm, okay.
Another thing that we can think of, we have experienced business people.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, when it comes to financial literacy, it's not more of a formula that this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But experience can teach you that, okay, this one does not work. What else can you do if you are to break through? So we have successful business people that are experienced. We can think of inviting those business people at a various platform, be it in class, be it wherever, so that they can able to give us how really money work.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, we can talk of the non-profit making organizations such as churches.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from just going to church just to read the Bible, we can also bring in financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot can be done if we are to succeed on that.
Mm-hmm. So which means what people need to know or what they need to do, it's only to know how to save money.
Yes, people, they should know that when you earn, you should be able also to leave something for tomorrow, not just to spend everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's come to our last question, which is, so what are the challenges that can be faced in financial literacy education, Mr. Jeremiah, if you may to speak?
Okay, let's say now we have taken...
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag, your data matters.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
To save money.
Yes, people, they should know that when you earn, you should be able also to leave something for tomorrow, not just to spend everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's come to our last question, which is, so what are the challenges that can be faced in financial literacy education, Mr. Jeremiah, if you may to speak?
Okay, let's say now we have taken it upon ourselves that, yes, we want to venture or to impact in financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you can come up with, it might also require money. It requires fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can talk about the fund needed. Let's say now we want to introduce financial literacy in the Namibian schools, for example. We have to think of the cost involved.
Mm-hmm.
We can also think of, do we have the curriculum designer when it comes to that area?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about also the complexity of financial concepts. We might need people that are well also informed when it comes to the financial concepts, so that it doesn't discourage those that are supposed to be taken through. We can also talk about, let's say now we are to introduce this financial literacy. We might have a challenge of limited teacher training centers, or we just don't have perhaps those ones, but we can always find a way. And another thing also that we can think of as a challenge when it comes to this education or financial literacy, we can talk about cultural and socio-economy factors. Remember, we have in our tradition, in our culture, we have something like we in Africa we share. The possibility is very high that somebody is being taught at school that, okay, if you have this little, learn to say, no, I don't have. When somebody is asking for money from you, for example. Now, looking at our culture, it will also lead to some challenges that when you want to save, then this extended family might also want to eat from the little that you get. So the challenges are a lot, but that one should not discourage us from introducing financial literacy, for example, in the Namibian schools.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Jeremiah, for being with us on Early Morning Scoop, and I would like to say have a blessed day ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, there you had it. The time is 3 minutes in the off 7 o'clock, and this Early Morning Scoop. Now, there, Mr. Jeremiah Mekondi from the Dr. Abraham Yambo Secondary School, school principal there. He noted the most important key that we need to take out there or take away is that one should, or he said that one should be able to manage money effectively. And of course, there is a need for learners to be given financial assistance skills so that they can also to understand the planning, budget, and of course borrowing. And one also key point that he also did mention there or indicated is that no matter what you earn, you need to know how to budget effectively. And additionally, there he said that those skills will now prevent the other skills that need also to be given to learners in terms of financial literacy. Those skills will now prevent frauds, he said. And of course, because frauds also are driven by people who cannot manage their finances. That's what he said. And he suggested that also the parents should be taught the skills financial literacy, just to pass them also on to their kids. And on that also, he mentioned one of the good points that, like, whatever, like when you earn something or when you earn money, you need to just save. Definitely just need to save. You don't have to spend, but also you need to save. But on that regard, or again, my colleague David Shombe, on the very same subject, he engaged one of the school principal again, that is John Kanyemba, who is an educator and of course a school principal, just to speak about the importance of financial literacy and of course how this context can be integrated in education. And then of course this Mr. John Kanyemba is the school principal at Linekela Naukushu Combined School. Let's take a listen.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic development. We are also looking at the context of financial literacy. It was indicated that financial literacy has been one of the center of discussion, particularly to economists, policymakers, and also those in the fraternity of education. But for us to unpack this, this morning I'm joined by the school principal of Linekela Naukushu, and it's Mr. John Kanyemba, just to engage us in the studio and also to see how can we unpack this matter, how financial literacy should be implemented. Mr. John Kanyemba, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, sir. Thank you.
Yes, let us start with the first question. When we talk about financial literacy, you know, it was indicated that, you know, a lot of us, we go through high school. After we start getting job, we still find it very difficult for us to manage our finance. But the question was brought up to say, there is a lack of that content in the education sector. What is your view on this in financial literacy lacking at school from primary to high school?
Yeah, I can contextualize it as to say, in our country, the Namibian nation need to be trained on the financial freedom. So that at the early stage, they need to administer their finances very well in such a way that they cannot squander their money on unnecessary things. To do proper planning, proper budgeting, and to spend their money on the necessary issues that they are very, very important in their lives on the daily uses.
Now, because when we were at school, there are some subjects like entrepreneurship, accounting. Do you think they miss a point, particularly when it's coming to personal finance?
Yes, that the point is not the deep explained to the teachers. But we need that content to start as from grade one until other grades. So that learners will be given a better understanding and knowledge and skills on how to manage their finances. Because as of now, learners, they don't even know how to change. If you gave her 100, doesn't know how much they change by a bread.
Okay.
That financial freedom, financial understanding is lacking in our education system. It only started at grade 8 up to grade 12.
And we are already old enough.
That one. You are lacking a skill somewhere, somehow.
Okay, now let us look at the country, because a lot of people are saying once I become a financial manager, it's still very difficult for me to manage finance because I was not taught that at school. Do you think not teaching financial literacy at the school level or at the primary level has an impact on the economic development of the country at large?
Definitely it has a negative impact on the economy of our country. Because that skill which is lacking in the education system, at the early grades there, is what is bringing the financial implications as we are talking today. Therefore, we must train the Namibian nation on the impact of financial freedom. Even those learners, those students that are at the high institution of learning, they are not well invested on how to manage the finance. Due to the fact that the lack of training has been observed and was not catered at the early age.
Let us look at what can be done. What action do you think can be done or can be taken to provide people with necessary financial knowledge, since many Namibians or us, we are still struggling to... Some are in debt, some are just lacking the understanding of how the money is operating. What do you really think are some of the steps that need to be done?
Okay, to those that are on the system already, the engagement of stakeholders is very, very much important. Therefore, people need to be trained on how to use their finance.
Okay.
As a teacher, as an educator, as officials, as government workers, they need to be trained on how to manage their finances. This is what is killing people today. Toward the end of the month, people are not at peace.
Because
of proper planning, unbudgeted things, you are buying, squandering money left and right. Therefore, it has a negative impact on the Namibian education today. Therefore, we need training. Engagement is needed at all levels. So that people will have the peace of mind in their work.
Yes, in terms of a curriculum, do you think we need a subject on its own, financial literacy, or just need to integrate it when we are teaching at school level?
Yeah, we do not need integration of subjects. Yeah. We need a specific subject which is addressing finance. It will really help us.
Mm-hmm.
If you integrate it, it will be regarded as that is what.
Yeah.
We need a specific subject addressing the issue of finance in the life of a Namibian nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Before we go to the end, what do you think are some of the barriers to achieve financial freedom? Either financial literacy in education or just financial freedom in general. What are some of these barriers or challenges?
The barrier is mindset.
Uh-huh.
Mindset within our societies.
Yeah.
How? It has been there. It is there. I must fall in it because it has been there.
Uh-huh.
The mind, the way you have set up your mind, because you found your friends in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And soon you will fall in debt because your friends are also in debt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mindset.
Uh-huh. Yes, just your final words to it can be to parents, to professionals, and just to people in general, particularly when it's coming to management of finance.
Yeah, I would like to say each one of us must be a manager on your own. Train our family members, our kids, our colleagues, and wherever we are, so that the country will be in good standing when it's come to financial management. I thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. John Kanyamba, for your time, and have a good morning.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, there you have it. Just lastly there, my colleague also, Bill Delta Simeon, engaged with Sandeek Onjombala, principal of Onamukulo Combined School, to share his insight. Let's take a listen.
Dear EKLFM listeners, let's continue proceed with our early morning scoop. Today we are looking on financial literacy to be taught in Namibian schools. Since they said financial literacy is the ability to understand and manage money effectively, encompassing concepts like budgeting, savings, investing and debt management. So it's all about making informed financial decisions that align with personal goals and values, leading to a greater financial stability and security. So in the past few years, many were saying that the absence of personal finances education in schools is leaving young Namibians unprepared for adult life. As to why financial literacy cannot be added as a subject like other subjects such as physical science in elementary schools, what we call primary schools. Today we are going to engage with one of the principals. He's a principal of Onamukulo Combined School, Mr. Sadekia Ujombala. I know he's going to tell us more about this, what should be done on this, or what actions can be done for these to be taught, or maybe for financial literacy to be taught in Namibian schools. Good morning, Mr. Sadekia, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, thank you very much, and let me greet our listeners and thank them to listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you too. My first question, Mr. Sadekia, is that do you believe that coming up with these skills or teaching these skills early will change the financial future for our country?
Yes, thank you, ma'am. I strongly agree to the largest extent that financial literacy to be taught at Namibian schools.
Mm-hmm.
We know nowadays, today, money is becoming the basic needs. Nowadays, without money, you are regarded as nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why people started business and suddenly they fail or bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why people working and cannot able to keep or save money. The reason why some of us are getting millions after retirement and they start spending and they die without money is because people did not get the early informative decision. And therefore, I'm supporting the financial literacy to be taught at Namibian schools as early as from grade one up to the university level. That's why I said it's very, very needed in Namibia.
Okay, my second question is that what do you think, or what actions do you think can be taken to provide people with the necessary financial knowledge, since many Namibians still struggle with debt management and financial literacy, if we may to speak, Mr. Wujombala?
Yeah, the main thing which lead to Namibian people to fall into debt is because they are lacking of informative decision and informative use of money.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start with introducing the financial literacy as a subject in Namibian school. Financial literacy together with agriculture to be introduced at schools as early as from grade one, I say, up to the university level, is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people who are in a working field now, they need to have some interaction, workshop, to be trained on how to use money, how to spend money. And that induction can be introduced to all the people who are joining the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Because nowadays, because you find only a person get money when he is already on 21 years after completing university, and you give that person even 18,000, 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean to that person?
Mm-hmm.
The person never even spend 2,000. Now you give a person 20,000, and he starts spending, and then he will fall into debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no clear information guiding the person from grade one, from the early
mm-hmm.
stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, maybe let's go to our final question, which is that what are the challenges that can be faced in financial literacy education?
Yeah, there are some few challenges, but in African context, I want to quote from Prof. Lumumba,
mm-hmm.
Who said, those people who have power does not have any idea.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who have idea, they don't have power. Therefore, we understand that the curriculum designers,
mm-hmm.
the curriculum designers, the lawmakers are the people who have power. But unfortunately, they don't have idea to find that the financial literacy, it's very needed. It's a crucial thing needed to be introduced.
Mm-hmm.
But now these people who do not have power, like me and you,
mm-hmm.
we find out that it's very necessary. But unfortunately, we do not have power. What's a challenge here is only understanding of the need
mm-hmm.
in a really life context.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, awareness campaign. Awareness. We need to have awareness campaign to make people aware that what we need in the country is the financial literacy and agriculture
mm-hmm.
from the starting, from the beginning. That is only the challenge. The third challenge is only money to fund. Who will fund?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are only facing. But if we have all those in places, there is nothing can be impossible.
Mm-hmm. So which means we do really have positive effects of financial education.
Of course, yes.
Mm-hmm.
To my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Wujombala, for being with us on Early Morning Scoop. And I would love to say, have a blessed day ahead.
Thank you very much. And thank you, all the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Igor Ifeam.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, it's 21 minutes in the of 7 o'clock. And this is Early Morning Skip. Thank you so much. And, of course, there you heard it from Mr. Onjombala, where he really just emphasized that, I mean, agriculture and financial literacy should be introduced. And, of course, in schools, and the people, the learners can be able to get those skills. Now, this is a paid advert or rather ShopRite live read. Get all your essential product for just 99 Namibian dollars only at USAFE. That is 1 kilogram of Rice King and, of course, 1 kilogram of Top Score or rather Bokomo Super Maize Meal. Also get 1 kilogram of Bag Sugar King or white or rather brown sugar. And get 1750 milliliter of right brand, that is a sunflower seed oil. And of course, get 500 grams of pasta polana or pasta king. And just pay 99 Namibian dollars only up to Sunday, at this 22nd of June 2025. And you save. Yes, we all save at you save.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, Rio Sherero o Maimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things.
All right, the time is 23 minutes in the hour of 7 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. We have about 7 minutes to hand over to my colleague, Tate Michael Shaveri. Now, to move on to the next item is that yesterday, Dia Kupi Ngitwa Mata, Executive Director of the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, participated in higher level panel discussion at the UNOC3 side event titled Bridging Borders, Protecting Oceans, of course, towards borders. Cooperation from source to sea. Now, the event brought together global leaders and experts to highlight the critical role of cross-border collaboration in protecting aquatic ecosystems from rivers and lakes to coasts and oceans. Now, during the panel, Ngitoa Mata outlined Namibia's progress in the integrating the source to sea managing approaching into its trans-border water cooperation frameworks. Now, she also shared practical examples from the Orange, Asengu, and Okavango River Basin, demonstrating Namibians' commitment to safeguarding both inland freshwater systems and, of course, the marine ecosystem of the Benguela Current Convection Region. She also underscored the role of water convection in promoting policy coherence and integrated cross-sectoral action across borders and water system. We might take a listen to what she has to say more.
Thank you very much, Director of Proceedings, Honorable Ministers. Namibia's accession to water convention in 2023 built on decades of strong regional cooperation in shared water courses. Given that all our perennial rivers, our major perennial rivers, that includes Orange, Senku, Kunene, Okavango, and Zambezi, are transboundary, cooperation across borders is essential for our water security, environmental sustainability, as well as economic resilience.
I'm going to have two case studies, which is advancing the practical of source to sea approaches in transboundary cooperation, starting with Orinsenku River Basin, which we call Orasekom. Through Orasekom, Namibia partner with Botswana, Lesotho, and South Africa on a basin-wide issues. One of our flagship is our effort in the development of integrated water resources management plan that explicitly considers water quality, sediment transport, and ecological connectivity from the Lesotho Highlands all the way through South Africa and Botswana to the Orange River mouth at the Atlantic coast, which is a Ramsar wetland site supporting coastal fisheries and marine biodiversity. This aligns strongly with the source to sea management framework, addressing upstream drivers such as mining and agriculture, while ensuring that downstream flow regimes that support a shoreline and nearshore marine is healthy. Another example, although doesn't link directly to the ocean, is the Okavango River Basin, Okakom. Through Okakom, we have partnered with Angola and Botswana. We are participating in efforts to manage both water quality and quantity with a growing recognition of the cumulative effects on the Okavango Delta, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. While the Okavango, as I stated, does not link directly discharge to the sea, this catchment, land ocean connection, is important via the groundwater systems and broader ecosystem services. Our work here also integrates climate resilience to mitigate future pressures. We are applying environmental flow assessments.
Right, there you have it. Now, the event also featured the launch of the guidance, a note on source to sea management in transboundary basins, a variable to support a sustainable ecosystem-based action by policymakers and, of course, practitioners. Now, on that again, Namibia reaffirmed its commitment to sustainable water governance, transboundary cooperation, and, of course, the full implementation of the guidance note in partnership with regional and, of course, international stakeholders. Now, in that segment, on that regard, that note, thank you so much for joining us, staying with us on this segment that is Early Morning Scoop. And I wish you also to stay there for the next program that is the unpacking of the day, just also to get what Mr. Mike has for us this beautiful morning. Thank you so much. And from me, Lois Ashimi, it's a good day. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Tiere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna I Madina Omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitomwa yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its...